like to thank Tim Riley for giving me this coupon, or coupon, as they say in Clackamas, for 4 for $5, Back to Nature macaroni and cheese. Just like the Pioneer Days. Yes, just like Lewis and Clark and the Mohicans used to have. Dry white cheese powder in it.
It's the favorite of Sacagawea.
Me introduce white man to cheese powder in aluminum pouch. All right. Pemmican flavored macaroni. This apparently, the great thing, the selling point of this macaroni is that, I swear to God, the macaroni, the little pasta bits are shaped like insects. All right. 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles. Back the hell up, ladies and gentlemen. He's Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Hi,
how you doing, brother?
All right, man.
It's your best day ever.
It is, why?
Because you're covering both Anna Nicole Smith and O.J. Simpson.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
These are just... Do you sometimes feel like a morning DJ or a classic rock DJ who's going in, you look at your playlist and it's like, well, Night Moves, Free Bird, Smoke on the Water, and Nightmare Who Moves, Free Birds, Smoke on the Water. That's what these stories are for you. You know what I mean? You're hoping to get the hot new single, but that didn't really happen. You go in and you got to play Eddie Money, Take Me Home Tonight for the 5 millionth time.
All of a sudden, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes in the form of Phil Spector.
Exactly. That's well done, sir.
Thank you.
That's a good alley-oop. Did you ever see that the Paul Schaefer at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions read that letter from Phil Spector?
No, what happened?
Paul Schaefer read this, and it was a one-sentence letter from, and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to read this letter from Phil Spector. And cleverly leaving out the, who's on trial for shooting a woman in the face. He says, you know, and the letter said something like, thanks so much, you know, I appreciate it. And then there was this, like, really tepid, sad response from the audience where, like, nobody really wanted to applaud too hard because no one's really sure if he's going to be found guilty or not.
Yeah, jury selection starts Monday.
God damn, man. It's like a decade ago he allegedly killed that woman.
Yeah.
It's funny because you can tell that the crowd, Phil Spector is obviously one of those cases where people are waiting to sort of decide whether they're going to be really for him or against him. Because you don't want to be all in his corner and then there's a videotape of him doing it. But you don't want to be all opposed to him because afterward you want to be able to lend support. But like, I was with you all the way, Phil.
Yeah.
So
well, it's going to be interesting to see what sort of antics he performs. During especially any forensic testimony that has to happen.
Well, because it's going to be televised, right?
Yeah, it's going to be wall-to-wall gavel, man, or gavel-to-gavel, whatever the hell they call it, on Court TV.
Fantastic. Well, I don't really care that much about it, but I'll watch it now.
Yeah, then why the hell am I going down? Why do I got to sit down there, then?
Well,
I have to watch it on TV.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, it's a thing that I don't care about all that much, but if it's going to be on TV, suddenly I do care. The manipulation by the media has worked. Suddenly I care.
Well, the judge says, you know what, it's public. It's going to be public record anyway, and if it's interesting to people, they should be allowed to watch it if they want.
God damn right. That's
what's kind of cool about that.
That's what
he said, if we can get past the O.J. thing, though. He said, because the O.J. trial really killed it. If it wasn't for OJ, he said, there'd be cameras in every courtroom.
Oh, you got that taint on you forever. Not you, Jim Roop, but I mean, you, although that's true as well, but that California's got that OJ taint forever.
Oh, we can't shake it.
No, forever and ever and ever. That's just a stain that'll never come out.
Yeah.
It's
a combination of coffee, wine, and ink stain.
Exactly. Can you imagine if they've been able to televise like the Manson trial? What? Talk about a ratings bonanza that would have been.
Yeah.
It'd be like a 50 share. All right. Well, we'll just sort of bottom line some of these things. Well, speaking of OJ, so this.
They're going to auction off the rights to the book.
How great is that? We should bid. The Rick Emerson Show is going to put in a preemptive bid.
It's going to happen in Sacramento. You could do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Sacramento?
I don't know.
Do I have to be there?
I think you do, yeah.
Oh, well, we should send somebody. Would you bid on our behalf? I won't possibly be able to pay whatever the bid is.
I just run up the bid so the Goldmans are thinking, wow, how cool is this?
Yes, sir.
They get all the proceeds.
So what is it? They're going to auction it off to individuals or to a publishing house? Or?
I'm not sure. They're just going to auction it off. I don't know who's going to go after it. But, you know, it's not that this will ever get published. It's just that if it does, Simpson will never be able to make any money off of it. And the thing that I don't understand, though, is once it's the bundled rights. It's everything that could possibly happen from this book. Another book, a movie deal, action figures, anything.
Any derivative works from
yeah,
this.
Yeah, anything. The thing I don't understand is Goldman going to bid? I mean, is he going to try to get the rights? Because if he got the rights, he stands to make a whole lot of money.
Well, that's my thing is this going to be another one of those things like his Heisman statue, which somebody bought and then melted down just to be a dick?
Yeah.
Is this where somebody's going to buy the rights to this O.J. book and then just stick it in a vault and it never gets published?
You know, I hope not.
I hope not, man. I'm an American. I have the right to wallow.
Yeah. So it'd be really nice if somebody who buys these rights for, I don't know, $1 million or something, just makes a million times that by publishing the book, by actually releasing the book, you know, and then everything else happens from it. Another book deal is in the works. I mean, Simpson's just going to sit there and go, doggone it.
Yeah, well, that's probably not what he's going to say.
True.
That you sell this O.J., but you buy the rights to the O.J. book, you sell the book, you make all the money, and then you use the money just to buy, you use the money just to hire some guys to go kick O.J. in the sack. You know what I mean? Just you use like $10,000 of it to hire some guys just to go kick that guy right in the crotch. That'd be satisfying.
It'll be interesting, too, to see who lines up to bid for this.
Seriously, I don't understand the bid. I mean, I do understand to be like, well, I don't want to publish a book by murder, whatever. But I'm saying this is America and where the dollar is king. I don't understand this notion that they somehow couldn't get anybody to publish it. I mean, there's a million showbiz people out there with no morals, scruples, or ethics who it seems like would have been lined up to publish this book.
Yeah.
It's just because they have this idea that somehow in America people are all offended by this. I mean, there's studios out there that would sell snuff films if they thought it would make them money. So it just seems like, it seems bizarre to me that they couldn't get anybody. Well, we'll see. I guess we'll see who
does it.
Well,
it's a lot of public pressure, man. I mean, you know, I was surprised at that. I was, the first time I've ever seen public outcry cancel something as big as that.
I don't care. Man, I'd give him a weekend show today if he went. I was saying that earlier. OJ calls me tomorrow, wants a weekend talk show, I'd give it to him. I don't care.
You could sell it, that's for sure.
That's the other thing is, would anybody buy advertising on such a show?
Sure they would, because they know everybody would listen.
Do you think?
Oh, it's a business deal. At that point, it becomes business. If you know, if people will listen. People will listen. They'll say they won't, but you know they're going.
I'll get my GSM on that right now.
They're going.
I've got an exciting program. Now, I don't want to tell you who the host is quite yet.
I worked for a guy at one point who would have done that. He would have said, get him on the phone.
I have no script. It's not like I think I'm doing art or something here. It is, as somebody once said to me, he goes, Ken, it's not called show art. It's called show business.
Yeah, well, what did Woody Allen say? If it wasn't a business, they'd call it show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah.
I've read conflicting stories. Thank you.
Yeah.
I've read conflicting stories of this today. And I'm so beyond caring. It's just like I want it just done and solved so I can never think about it again. Did a judge order Howard Stern to cough up some DNA?
No. He will make that ruling in a couple of weeks.
Get it done!
I don't know why it's taking him 2 weeks to go. He must be sitting at home going, let's see. Nope.
Eeny, meeny. Yeah.
Yep. No. Yep. Yep. Nope.
How can it possibly take this long? Look, I can say, if you're just some poor guy who's a pipe fitter somewhere and your ex-wife is suing you for child support,
yeah,
they owe you in like the next day into a bathroom with a porno mag. And they're like, come on, give it up.
Well, the lawyers for Howard K. Stern say, look, he's named on a birth certificate. He doesn't have to prove anything. Others have to prove that they're the father.
Yeah.
So get DNA from all these other guys. I think there are 12 of them now. Get it from all these other guys. Let's match it up with the baby's DNA and let's see. But from what I understand, though, there hasn't been even any DNA taken from the baby. So how's that going to happen?
I don't know.
It could all end today if Howard Stern would just say, swap me.
Swab me, baby. As long as they test OJ, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave you with this thought. I have a listener who emails and says, Rick, you don't hear this every day. Jim Roop saying he can't get rid of the stain from OJ's taint. Thank you, sir.
They need to monitor me more closely.
Yes, I would. Or not at all.
Or not at all.
God bless you, Jim Roop. Thank you, brother.
All right, man.
It's Jim Roop in Los Angeles who cannot get rid of the stain from OJ's taint. Ladies and gentlemen, your president, prophet, and the guy.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Riley, these left hunters of New Burgians without phone service today. Horizon says, They cut all the copper out of the main phone cables in the town of Newburgh, leaving hundreds of people without a phone. Of course, if you had a cell phone, you were in effect as good a cell phone. And, well, let all these methamphetamine addicts get their jollies elsewhere. But thieves are stealing wire anywhere they can find it to finance their drug habits. Our top story, Chiquita Banana is charged with dealing with terrorists. Apparently, federal prosecutors said the company and several unnamed high-ranking corporate officials did business with guerrillas in Colombia. A group is described in international documents as a violent right-wing organization trying to talk these people out of picking bananas and trees and spoiling their democracy for the American company that owns these bananas.
Are you really talking about how the banana company is in cahoots with guerrillas?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay.
No, the people in charge of running this banana company, for the people who own all the bananas in Cleveland, or is it Cincinnati? Just a minute. Okay, all the bananas in the jungle are owned by this company in Cincinnati. And the people who live there are told to get up in those trees and stopping work and trying to join these guerrilla organizations and sing happily the company's song.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way. And when they're flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad.
All right.
No, not yet, my dear. That greenish way you're looking means that you are ripe for cooking.
How about me?
No, when you... Why did it stop?
Well, this is a serious topic about gorillas
and
the banana plantations.
All right. I'm just picturing a bunch of guys in gorilla suits.
Really right, my dear. Those little flecks of brown appear.
Hey.
You're most digestible, my friend.
If you got little flecks of brown on your banana, I would. The hell was that noise?
A banana popping up. Any way you want to eat them.
Who puts bananas in a pie?
Banana cream pie.
Oh, yeah.
But bananas like the climate of the very, very tropical equator. So you should never put...
Is this a white woman singing this, pretending that she's from Colombia?
This is a white banana, yes.
Oh, the whitest of bananas.
White banana with a chapeau.
Bananas are a solid food that doctors now include in baby's diet. Since they are so good for baby, I think we all should try it.
Oh!
See? What happened?
The baby hit somebody with a spoon.
All right.
He tried to take away his banana.
It was a simpler time.
Advertising. Out if you have brown flecks on your banana.
Advertising didn't really have to be good then. It just sort of had to be.
Well, that was a very attractive banana.
Okay. What?
So anyway, they're charged with eating terrorists. And it's got to stop. Meanwhile, the number one spot on the Billboard Top 200 album chart belongs to a rapper who's been deceased for a decade. These are the works of the notorious B.I.G. They sold 99,000 copies the first week in stores last Friday, March 9th, marked the 10th anniversary of the rapper's death. The notorious Big, whose real name is Christopher Wallace, didn't want to be confused with the Fox News Channel reporter, so he changed his name. After the notorious greatest hits, the Billboard top five includes Archer Fire at number two with Neon Bible. Doherty's self-titled debut is at number three, followed by Akron's Convicted with a K. That's kind of kooky. And at number four is the greatest hits complication of the country crooner Gary Allen.
I don't understand anything that's going on in this story, which is normally your job. I will
but
say...
don't you understand?
It's just... The list is just... That Arcade Fire album is really weird sounding, by the way. The whole thing just sounds like...
All my friends are just raving about it.
It's not my type of music. It's more my wife would love that. That's who would love that new Arcade Fire record is my wife.
Yeah, then I'll probably like it.
Very 80s alternative. Just drenched in 80s reverb. The whole thing sounds like it was recorded in a gymnasium. And it's a lot of the guy going, oh, I'm sad. And then there's like chamber bells and whatnot. The thing about that Notorious B.I.G., that greatest hits record is really weird is, do you remember like in the 90s, when NSYNC, that No Strings Attached record from NSYNC, sold like 980,000 copies.
I even bought a copy of that album.
It's not a bad album. I'll say that. I'll admit it. I'll admit it right here. It's not a bad record. As far as pop records go, No strings attached from Instinct is a fine record. No, in fact, it was more than it was a million, wasn't it? Wasn't it like 1.2 million copies, units scanned in the first week?
How do you become number one by just selling 99,000?
That's what I'm pointing out. If anybody wants to know why Music Millennium, sadly, is going out of business, or at least the location on 23rd, you think about that. How the Marshall Mathers LP from Eminem sold like 900,000 copies the first week. Garth Brooks' Double Live sold more than a million copies the first week. Vitalogy from Pearl Jam sold almost a million copies the first week. NSYNC sold 1.2 million copies the first week. That Notorious B.I.G. debuts at number one with 99,000 copies sold. That's the record industry right there in a thumbnail. That's in or a thing, a teaspoon.
Take that record industry.
Stupid record industry. So there you go. That's that.
We continue now with more of the hip hop beat. The show will not go on. A controversial hip hop concert. Starring a group called the Bloods Gang, member James Jones, I thought that guy was dead, will not take place at the Dunkin' Donuts Center as promised.
There were issues of pre and post events before and after the show that the promoter had no control of that were apparently getting out of control.
I like how he won't just say gang members shooting each other in the parking lot. And that he has to point out that that's actually not part of the promotion. The local promoter didn't actually book that segment of the evening's entertainment.
They didn't want that being performed at the Dunkin' Donuts Center.
No. Let's get one here. And
that's
we'll
pretty
pray.
Hardcore.
Hello.
Rumble at the Dunkin' Donuts Center.
Let's go down. The Winchells. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing, Rick?
What's up, brother?
Hey, I was just talking to the man there about the ambient you guys are talking about.
You're talking to who about that?
Connie?
Rob.
Who?
Is Rob, isn't it? You're the guy that answers the phone.
Yes, Rob.
Rob. Anyway, I got a sister-in-law that has been taking it, and I kid you not, she'll be up and down all night. She'll be making her dinner. She'll be making her breakfast. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is.
She's asleep?
What she's doing, yes.
That's pretty fascinating. Does she remember any of it later on?
No. My ex-wife would do that, too. I called you back a while back when my mom and my ex-wife just died recently. And my ex-wife would do it, too. She quit taking it. And I caught her in the... I woke up in the middle of the night, and she's in the refrigerator, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she kind of shakes her head and wakes up because she was asleep in the fridge.
Are you ever tempted to make your sister-in-law do something wacky while she's walking around all asleep on Ambien?
No.
If you ever want that, you just let me know. I'll ask her to do something. Yeah, I'll ask her
to do something. But that Ambien's bad stuff. It really is.
All right.
I mean, you catch people that are driving their cars when they're asleep. And
that's creepy.
They don't even know what they're doing.
Ugh. All right. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, have a good one, man.
You too. There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Michael, we talked to Rob extensively about that before he came on the air with us here. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we will go through these list of complaints to the FCC and to CBS, who are apparently turning children gay left and right and so forth. Come back right after this, kids. It's 503-733-2970. 503. Are you attempting to play a Chiquita Banana song over there? What are you trying to do? You keep trying to play things off YouTube, and it keeps not working.
There's nothing wrong with this machine. It keeps playing things at random. That's the only thing on mine that works.
Hey, where did you find this?
Oh, I've got my way. It's Rick Emerson.
Excellent. Hey, back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
I really do appreciate that you're sitting here. Your voice sounds so wonderful. But your face don't look too clear. The barmaid bring a pitcher, another round of brew. Honey, why don't we get drunk and
share that knowledge with anybody else. Sarah, I swear
to
God.
No, you said don't share it.
I'm going to. Sarah's looking at a picture of Lindsay Lohan carrying a bottle of clear liquid, and from the way that objects are reflected in the bottle,
no,
you can tell
that
it's vodka.
That distorted through. Yeah, because, you know, vodka is a different texture than water. It's definitely not a water bottle that she's carrying around.
Can you definitively say that it's vodka?
Well, no, I can't definitively. I can't see it very closely.
All right. Okay. Carmen Miranda, dead.
You would think
years.
The same thing if you looked at this.
Uh-huh. I didn't say anything. Hey, here's Tim Riley. He's at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Presidential candidate Mitt Romney is coming to Oregon. He's going to be here in Portland on Wednesday for a fundraiser. Sure, somebody's saying he's worth like $500 million.
I hate that guy.
He wants everyone else to pay for this thing. He's never going to. And he says, I am proud to have the support of so many, define so many, prominent Oregonians who have gracefully offered to lend their talents and experience to my campaign.
No one's done that.
These leaders recognize that our nation faces a new generation of challenges that will require resolve and a rededication to the conservative principles that have made us strong. Okay, we'll see how far he gets.
He's never going to be elected.
So maybe he'll be like Cheney and hang out at the airport, not come into town.
Yeah, he's no Mormon will ever be elected. No Mormon, no Jehovah's Witness, no Scientologist will ever be elected. Actually, a Scientologist probably will. Those guys, they'll end up owning everything. Them and Google. They'll end up running the whole world. Mormon, no way. Never going to happen.
Well, Detroit rocker Kid Rock is facing possible assault charges. A woman says the star, whose real name is Robert Ritchie, attacked her in his Michigan home last week. The woman claims Rock got angry when she refused to spend the night with him. She said he also grabbed and pushed her. The incident is being investigated by the Sheriff's Department. Who remembers the Baja Men?
That's the Who Let the Dogs Out group.
That's right, Who Let the Dogs Out group. Well, they're blaming the record label for ruining their lives.
I'd like to blame them for ruining about 6 months of mine.
They're accusing Activate Entertainment by failing to pay them thousands of dollars for a past record that they've been working on, forcing the Baja Men to cover the production costs out of their own pocket. The band claims that they're paying for the expenses has led to overdrawn accounts, severely damaging the reputation of the group members within the tight music community, and because they couldn't pay the production staff, it even cost the lead singer Isa Taylor his home. Why did they not check with their accountants? After all this, before all this happened.
Seriously, why didn't you just like look at, well, I better check my balance before I write this studio check for $40,000?
Right. Just put in your PIN number and see how much is in there.
No. I'll write the check now. Worry about it later. All right, fantastic. Okay, well, let's go through some of these. Have you read any of these FCC complaints, Tim?
I have not.
Oh, they're fantastic. I got a big stack. We might not even get to all of them. These are from Bobby. Rick, did you see what the blue hairs have badgered the FCC with this time? This Tim, I'm assuming she means it's time. It might be Tim. It's the Super Bowl show. The Smoking Gun has some of the best examples with the show. Bobby. Bobby? All right, so let's just read. I swear to God, I am not making these up. If you could see, I'm holding in my hand. These are actual forms that have been filled out and submitted to the FCC. People complaining about the content of the Super Bowl, which was like a year ago already. Like the Prince thing happened forever ago. So these are notes to the FCC from citizens. And you know that these people all vote, and you know they all have a million kids. It has the date, and then it has whatever, like what they want done. So let's see here. What do you suppose everybody who watched the Super Bowl complained about? What do you suppose is the number one thing?
Prince.
His guitar penis.
Dear FCC, says this official complaint from someone who shares this country with you, one of your fellow citizens. I find it highly unacceptable to have a family watching a sporting event only to find Prince stroking, manipulating, and fondling his guitar behind the curtain.
Somebody has a dirty mind.
This image, and somebody else has another case or something. Listen to this. This image only made him, I swear to God it says this. This image only made him look extremely large, which made the rest of us feel small and unable to perform. Huh? I swear to God, this is finding Prince stroking, manipulating, and fondling his guitar behind the curtain. This official complaint of the FCC goes on to say, this image only made him, Prince, look extremely large, which made the rest of us feel small and unable to perform. So apparently, the massive size of Prince's simulated manhood made whoever this is...
He doesn't have his name. They've removed his name, unfortunately.
Why? Why? Because if he's trying to contact a public thing, you know, to try and get something shut down or try to do whatever he is he's doing, we deserve the right to know who he is.
And really, I'd like to know who was unable to perform after watching a Prince performance. Usually it's the other way around, because he's a sex machine. Okay, here's another one. From, it makes me so angry that the names are taken off of these. The RFCC. I would like to voice my concern over yesterday's Super Bowl halftime show. I feel as though Prince's performance was, all caps, very offensive. The part of his act in particular that comes to mind is when they pull up a big sheet and his shadow is cast, but it's so easy to offend Americans. He is holding a guitar, and in the shadow, it looks as though he has a large penis with a pitchfork on the end of it. I hadn't really thought about that. Maybe pitchforks look different where you live, sir. It was not only profane, it was very sadistic. I cannot believe this would be allowed after what happened with Ms. Jackson. Please look into this further. Thanks in advance. No, thank you. Thank you, sir. How about this? Okay, what else do you suppose was offensive to people during the Super Bowl? Think about what Americans are horrified by.
Commercials.
Yes. Specifically, Tim?
Oh, the Snickers bar commercial.
Why would that be horrifying, Sarah?
Oh, my gosh, because I believe I might have seen a man accidentally kiss another man.
You might.
For shame.
You might catch the gay. Dear FCC, says this idiot, the Snickers bar commercial promoting homosexual behavior was disgraceful. Also, the giant shallow phallus from Prince's guitar was disgraceful. The giant shadow phallus. Is that like a shadow puppet?
The giant shadow peanut.
Is that like... The giant shadow peanut was horrifying. I find this giant peanut... I find Prince stroking and manipulating a giant peanut to be horrifying. You see, like, Mr. Peanut there in his monocle? Prince just stroking him up and down, humping him. Hello, Mr. Peanut.
Hello, Mr. Peanut!
The giant shadow phallus. Isn't that what Gandalf's horse's name? Ride, Shadow Phallus! The giant Shadow Phallus from Prince's guitar was equally disgraceful. This behavior has no place in a prime-time family event. It was easier explaining to the kids about Jackson's boob being exposed than explaining the pro-homosexual theme of this year's event. This year's event brought to you by The Gay Agenda. We will never watch live again, only on TiVo, with the halftime filth show cut out. Okay? It's pathetic when you can't keep porn out of the Super Bowl. Don't you want to find these people and show them real porn? It's pathetic when you can't keep porn out of the Super Bowl just because 6% of the population is gay, gay, gay. They're not just gay. They're gay, gay, gay. How about this? The indecent material was part of a Snicker... This is from another complaint of the FCC. The indecent material I am complaining about was part of a Snickers commercial in which an adult male working on a car places a Snickers bar in his mouth. He then, using the Snickers bar in his mouth, simulates an erection next to the face of his male co-worker. I don't believe that's actually part of the commercial, sir.
No.
I think someone's seeing things through a big gay prism. What happened if Prince would have done that? I know their heads would have exploded. You just would have heard this sound from Iowa as everybody just immolated. Really, if a guy putting a candy bar in his mouth and the first thing you think of is a lot of hot male love, sir, that's all well and good. I do believe it reveals more about yourself than perhaps you realize you are revealing. Anyway, the other male eats the bar from the opposite end while both men are making prurient noises. They ultimately make lip contact. This is obscene to me. All right. It's like that thing where the guy puts a carrot in his mouth and the horse eats it. How about this? Let's see. It was obscene. Let's see. This is another one to the FCC. It was obscene to show Prince, a homosexual person, through a sheet as to show his silhouette while his guitar showed a very phallic symbol coming from his below midriff section. This, I don't even understand what language
protruding from his spats.
Coming from his dungarees. To show his silhouette. while his guitar showed a phallic symbol coming from his below midriff section. I am very offended and would prefer... God damn. This country sucks. I am very offended and I would prefer not to have showed it to my four children who love football. One of them... I swear to you, this is real. I don't want anybody to think that this is a gag or I'm making these up. These are government documents submitted by idiots. This is a man complaining about Prince and the phallic symbol that he showed during the Super Bowl. The complaint continues. I have four children who love football. One of them has hoped to be a quarterback, and now he will turn out gay. Thanks, CBS, for turning my son gay. That's the final line.
Have they determined
line.
Which one it is?
It's one of his kids. It's just one of the four. Good God. Thanks, CBS, for turning my son gay. Well, no problem, sir. I'm glad we could help. You get back to us when you want us to work on the other
three. I think Kitty Kerr may be contributing to that, too. Isn't the news a man's job?
It really is. Suddenly, women are going to be wearing pantsuits everywhere. I don't approve of women in pantsuits. One Hillary Clinton is enough. All right. Jesus. I don't think I can top that
today. I don't think
today.
You can't top
Thank
that.
You, CBS, for turning my son gay. You are, from all of us at CBS to you, you are welcome for your son becoming the gay, sir. And we would like to assist with any other gay turnings in the future. So thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. 503-733. I'm going to post this on my office in huge letters. 503-733-2970. Story Cameras and Show. Back after this. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Don't go anywhere. We continue. After this, it's five. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program.
Pretty up now.
program, the Super Suckers. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, about gayness and Super Bowls. Rick, the whiner about the gay message of the Super Bowl said is right. There is no place for homosexuality in football. Games are a chance for men to get together in a non-gay way to listen to a man named Dick Butkus tell us that a wide receiver got some deep penetration in the end zone. Best show ever, Steve. Thank you, sir. Rick, I know it's not the lunch hour anymore, but I have to call you on using a terrifying phrase in your conversation with Jim Roop. You said, this is pretty great, you said that the stink of OJ's taint will be on us forever, which I really did. Scotty is asking me to, Scotty, should I be taking whatever this, Scotty's not even in there. He's gone. Are you even in there?
Is he already gone with his wheelie suitcase?
Probably. I don't even know. I'm supposed to be playing something here. Sarah X Dillon, who, as of this moment right now, is filled with sausage.
I did eat sausage.
How many sausages did you have this morning?
I had 9.
You had? Yeah, that's not very funny.
That's not.
All right, 503. What's funny, though, is Tim referring to himself as an ordinary small white man, or whatever the hell he said. And that's a heck of a banana. Pamela, you're on the Rick Emerson show.
Hi. Just a quick question. What happened to Timnasium?
Timnasium. Timnasium was a weekend program. See, this is how quickly things change in radio. We always talk about new listeners and old school listeners and whatever. And there's certain things that, like, if you were listening in a certain era, you'll know them, you'll understand them, and then you blink and then they're gone. Timnasium was a weekend show. It was on Saturday, 4 to 6. It was, I say, as though the time matters anymore. It was a weekend show hosted by a guy named Tim Savage. Tim Savage did that as sort of a sideline gig. His full-time job was on our sister station, KUFO. He was recently let go by KUFO. He moved on, whatever you want to call it. He was let go. And so as an adjunct to that, he now no longer does the Timnasium.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yes, it is.
You know, I in my mind, I think of him as a relative of yours.
Really?
You know, like your younger brother.
Yes, he's
confused, more disturbed.
My younger, more attractive brother.
Anyway, thanks.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Pamela. All right. Rick, about Lunesta. Lunesta is named after the lunar moth. I'm sorry, the Luna moth, which is one of the biggest moths in the world, and he has weird eyes on the wings to scare predators. The ads show the moth coming into people's rooms when they're trying to go to sleep and sprinkling a kind of pixie dust on them. Then they go into a very peaceful sleep. P.S. It also shows them waking up. Thank God. Rick, I was under the impression that Jews harp was a derogatory term. As a kid, I thought it was called a juice harp, and I commented about it in front of my friend's mom. Said mom was super into Jewish history and stuff, and laid into me about how calling it a Jews harp was, that's all I ever, maybe it is, maybe it's not. I remember having music textbooks when I was in school where they identified, of course, there was also a Sambo's restaurant in my hometown, so it's not really, perhaps Kennewick is not really a benchmark of racial tolerance. She said it's called a mouth harp, but since, by the way, did you know that in Ireland, if you have a harmonica, it's called a mouth organ? She said it's called a mouth harp, and since they're really cheap to buy, people once started calling it a Jew's harp as a derogatory term about how Jews are supposedly miserly. I guess if the actual association calls them Jew's harps, maybe it's not derogatory at all. P.S., I'm thinking about watching the Black Dahlia tonight. I remember you guys said you watched it, but I don't remember if any of you said it was there. I don't think anybody here did watch it. I think Scott Daly watched it.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I think Scott Downey watched it, and he found it to be sort of, yeah.
He said it was kind of disappointing, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he said it was all that great. It's a Brian De Palma film, but here's the secret. Brian De Palma doesn't make very good movies, and that's the thing that people don't like. I was talking to somebody about Scarface the other day, because Scarface is so huge in the hip-hop community. It's like, you go to any store, any supermarket, any convenience store, any sort of mini-mart that isn't in, like, an urban area at all, and man, everything in there is just, it's like Scarface merchandise, like everywhere you look. And it's like Scarface clocks and shirts and like those, like mirrors with pictures of Tony Montana and like really gaudy framed posters and so forth. And the thing is that Scarface is a truly terrible film. And people, they don't like to hear that. You say that and people don't really think that it's true until they go back and watch it. Scarface is an awful film. The film, I'm calling it right now though, that Nicolas Cage's Lord of War is going to be the next Scarface. Anyway, so the point is that Brian De Palma doesn't really make very good films. So it would be my guess. Like, just go see Zodiac instead. If you're going to see the Black Dahlia, just skip it and go see Zodiac, which is a more interesting case, and it's by a better director. It's by David Fincher. Rick, I had to tune out. Did Scotty ever figure out what secular meant? I don't know. Let's find out.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy.
So we're wrapping this up anyway.
You're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
By the way, before we get to Scotty, I have to read this final complaint here. Dear Ed, this is another complaint to the FCC about the Super Bowl. And you ought to hear that. I mean, this is the ones that I read. You ought to hear the ones.
It's a huge stack of papers.
It's gigantic. You ought to hear what
you did peek with. I used to be afraid of making my son gay.
And that's, I now have to have my son tested for HIV after this halftime show. How about this one? I swear to God, how about this one? Rick, during Prince's rendition of Purple Rain, there seemed to be a shadow puppet of his penis. Am I imagining things? Also, the backdrop seemed to be stained with something. Is it stained with what I think it is? But yes, sir. Yes, it is. My children were watching, and now I have to explain. He has to. It's required. My children are watching, and now I have to explain to them what a wet spot is. Thanks, CBS. The best part is how they all thank CBS by name. All of them single out the network. You're welcome, sir. Scotty J. Hello.
How you doing?
Hi. Secular. Use it, please, in a sentence now.
He had a faith that, well, let me put it this way. His faith was not...
You've had like 2.5 hours.
His faith was not secular. How's that?
Okay, that doesn't...
I know what secular means.
What does secular mean?
So I would probably never use the word.
What does secular means what?
Of believing or more in worldly possessions than religion, right? Something like that.
Use it in a sentence, please, where you must rely on the word itself being used correctly. Seriously, you've had since like noon.
That's how much I care about it.
All right. You can't use another sentence. Can you spell it at least?
S-E-C-U-L-A-R.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you, Scotty.
Okay.
All right. All right. There you go, sir. I hope you're satisfied. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Make a note of it. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, we will get to this top five, and I will do this vampire story as well. We're going to thank CNN Radio correspondents Jim Roop, Lisa Goddard, Steve Kastenbaum, Rick Emerson Show, and Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, Scotty J is our PA, and the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7. As always, thank you for listening. Be safe. Don't let bastards cut you down. See you all tomorrow, kids. Bye.
I don't feel no way tired.